Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 184, recorded on July 19th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going great, and hopefully it's going great for you, too.
It's going quite well.
Excellent.
And Adam Christensen from the MacCast is also here. Hey, Adam.
Hey. That's all I got.
That works. Oh, I should say, because I have it in my hand, the terrible like $3 cables that I mentioned last show.
Yeah.
Did they light you on fire yet?
They didn't light me on fire. Did I mention that? So what the one that I got was a 30-pin to lightning adapter. I don't remember if I disclosed this or had figured it out by this point, but it only works with charging and syncing. It won't do accessories or audio.
Of course not.
It's a $3 cable, so
you can get three-foot lightning cables from Monoprice right now, certified.
Oh,
Apple certified for $12.
Okay, I might do that.
Just FYI.
Monoprice.
And I think I saw that on the Mac Observer.
I love Monoprice.
I believe that's exactly where you saw it.
Sweet.
Yeah, Monoprice is awesome.
Yeah, they don't sell crap usually.
They do not.
So that's a bonus.
3 foot, $11.97.
Although it says $10.95 here. Oh, if you buy 50 or more. There you go, you can get them for $10.95.
Oh, I want one of the conversion ones that go from
this. Because what you need is 50 3 foot USB to lightning cables.
Or you can get a 10-foot one. You can get 5 of them. Math. Okay, so moving on to
you could get 50 and take it to Mardi Gras and throw those out instead of beads.
Yeah, that would probably be a lot more effective at this point. Depending on what people at Mardi Gras are using, if they're Android people or iPhone people, I'm not sure what the demographics are there.
I think the more important demographic there is, are they cheap beer or hurricanes?
Yeah, that one's important too. All right, so we should move on to the more specific iOS iDevice.
So wait,
news.
We're already up to our picks and done with the show? Man, yeah. That went fast. Yeah,
we're done. See you later. iPad mini rumors, which is, it's kind of interesting because my girlfriend just got an iPad mini. Swearing that she would never get an iPad mini, that she just wanted the full-size iPad.
Adam,
but
are you feeling sorry for her because
there's going to be a new one?
She's Michael's girlfriend, or okay. So it's about you're sorry for her.
I told her the other day. I was like, hey, you know, they're talking about how the new iPad mini that's coming out in a couple months. ... And she didn't even let me finish. She's like, wait, there's one coming out later? And I thought this is the first time I've ever had one of the newest things. And I'm like, well, I'm very sorry. That's how it goes.
You're a bad boyfriend.
What am I going to do about it?
15-day return policy. Did you tell her that? Take it back quick.
She knows about it. We've mentioned it. I've mentioned it to her and discussed it. And she said that she loves it too much and she doesn't want to give it up. I even told her initially, and this is an interesting story for those of you who are students, there's the $50 promotion for students. So if you buy an iPad or an iPhone or a Mac, I think that maybe it's just the iOS devices, you get a $50 card for the Apple Store.
Yeah, if you buy a Mac, you get a $100 card.
Okay, right. Yeah. So I thought, hey, that would be awesome if she had that because then she could buy a bunch of really good apps. And she bought it at Best Buy because we don't have an Apple Store in a decent range of here. And so I called Apple and I said, hey, we just bought an iPad and we would like to get the $50 promotion if you could make that work out. And they said, unfortunately, there's no way possible for us to determine whether you actually purchased it. So there was nothing they could do. So I told her about that and she didn't even like the idea of returning it at a Best Buy and then going and buying it because we were headed that direction anyway to an Apple store, even like the same day. But what we did end up doing was going back to Best Buy and saying, hey, Apple has this promotion and either we would like to get an iTunes gift card from you, a Best Buy gift card from you, or we want to return it because we would prefer to buy it at the Apple store and get that $50 thing that they're offering. And they're
like, here's a card?
Yeah, exactly. They said, okay, here's a card. Have fun.
Nice.
So now
that's
she has
$50.
I'm assuming a Best Buy card.
Yeah, it was a Best Buy card, but we immediately bought an iTunes gift card with it because what else are you going to buy at Best Buy for $50?
Awesome. You have no idea how big the smile on my face is right now.
And now she has no idea what she's going to buy with $50 worth of App Store money.
I usually buy movies these days when I get those kinds of things.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants with it. So... good times.
A lot of apps. 50. That's like 50 apps.
Yeah, it is. 50 plus a bunch of free ones.
Or 38 apps and some in-app purchases.
Yeah.
Yep. So, moving on to the iPad mini rumors. Initially, the claims were that we weren't going to see our iPad mini, and everybody's thinking at first the next iPad mini is going to have a Retina display. And then the rumors came in that it was probably going to be happening late this year in time for the holiday shopping season, pretty much. So in the September, October range. And I think I even saw November, something like that. And then I think last week or early this week, we saw rumors saying that Apple's having a tough time still with the Retina panels and that they just can't get the production up on these smaller panels for whatever reason. And so I think it was Foxconn.
Apple can't get it up.
Yeah, exactly. Foxconn, I think, was saying, not Foxconn, but DigiTimes was saying that they're sort of expecting an iPad mini refreshed this year, but it won't have a Retina display. It will just have upgraded internals. In addition to what I think is probably going to happen either way is the, they call it an almost bezel-free design, which is interesting. And when I say I think it's going to happen, I kind of take that back because I'm not sure how they're going to pull that off because the bezels on the long sides are already quite thin. And I guess you could shrink down the top and the bottom ones. And if you're going to go with symmetry, then you can't do too much on either side because of the home button.
I'm calling fakety fake, 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 fake.
I didn't think that meant all the way around. I just figured that meant on the sides. No.
Okay, if it means only on the sides, then plausible. If it's all the way around, then fakety fake, 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 fake. Because
but even on, like Michael's pointing, yeah, on the sides, there's not much more bezel to remove.
Yeah, I mean, they've already had to, when they put the iPad mini out, they had to include special algorithms to detect whether the sensors are
seeing... If you're holding it wrong?
Yes, exactly. If the sensors are seeing that your fingers are just at the edges because you're holding it there, or if you're actually trying to do something on the edges of the screen. So it cancels out those touches on the edges of the screen.
Right.
So it'd be interesting. I'm mostly excited for the next full-size iPad because I would love for a thinner, lighter, and the bezels being smaller would be fine. I don't really care one way or another. It's just I would like it to be lighter and a little bit thinner, like the iPad mini.
Well, I think you'll get both those things.
Yeah.
The rumors are saying like 30% lighter, which is that significant.
Well, I mean, if
you're going to notice that.
Yeah. Well, if you think about the, well, firstly, the iPad 2, I think, weighed something like 50 grams less than the iPad 4. And being that the iPad mini weighs so little, like that it's surprising, I can imagine it being significantly lighter.
Yeah. I love my mini. On the rumors with the iPad mini, I don't buy that Apple's going to put an iPad mini out in October without a Retina screen and then immediately turn around in the first quarter of 2014 and go, ah, there's a Retina now.
Yeah, that doesn't seem likely.
I think they just opt to delay because you're going to have a bunch of PO'd holiday customers
yeah.
if you do that. I don't think you want to deal with that.
Yeah, it's either it comes out with all the features that they're planning on including in the next model, or they wait until they have all the features they're planning on including.
Yeah, I mean, I think their backup plan could be you do a $20-$30 price drop right before the holidays if you can't get the Retina, you know, yields up and get that out into the market for holiday buying, and you just go, look, it's, and, you know, you clear out a bunch of models before you release a new one in the first quarter.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable plan. And then people get the current model at a discount when a couple months later the Retina model comes out. Then at least they know they got theirs at a discount.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy this two model thing because I don't think there's enough that they can do with the existing model to really update it. I think really the main thing that most people are clamoring for is a better resolution screen.
Yeah.
I mean, great, updated processor, maybe a little faster. It's not going to matter to most people.
Right.
Yeah, I have to say that I do definitely see the difference between the mini screen and my Retina iPad.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I still prefer my mini, though, for most things that I do. It's the iPad that I reach for most frequently
Is it because it's lighter or is it because it's smaller?
Both.
Okay. I think that I would be much more drawn, because I love the mini primarily for it being so light, and I notice more and more that the full size iPad is pretty heavy when I'm watching movies and things like that on it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the only time I grab the full-size one is when I know I'm going to be out and want to do, like, note-taking or content creation or drawing or whatever. You know, if it's a scenario where I want to make stuff, create content, and I'm not going to take my MacBook Pro, then it's my iPad 3 or third-generation iPad. Every other case, it's going to be the mini that I'm going to grab.
You know, I found that it's totally task dependent which one I grab.
Yep.
So, yeah. So I actually don't prefer one over the other. It's just one iPad is better for some tasks, and the other iPad is the right tool for different tasks.
So many people are just hating us right now. They're like,
"Are they?"
I have one iPad. Like, you bastards.
Oh, I forgot about that part. I only have one iPad. I just have someone close to me that I can yank the iPad out of her hands and play with it. No, I wait until she's finished and then I play with it.
And then you yank it from her hands, yeah.
And then I also yank it, yes.
Oh, God.
All right, so before we go any further down our whatever rabbit hole we're going to go down, let's put the brakes on and talk about our sponsor this week, which is Audible, because they're awesome. And I've been an Audible subscriber for, I don't know, maybe five or six years now. For those of you who don't know what Audible is, it's the best place to get audio content and primarily audio books on the internet. And if there is an audiobook of it, then chances are it's going to be on Audible. So right now you can sign up using the special URL audiblepodcast.com/WHC, and you get a full free month of the Audible Listener Program, which gives you a free credit, which essentially gets you a free book. So the way that the Audible Listener Program works is that every month you get a certain number of credits. So if you have the one book a month, that's normally $14.95, you get one credit a month, and they stack up, and you can keep up to 6 credits per month, or you can do 2 or 12 or 24 books at a time, all at once. I'm sorry. So you can do 1 or 2. I'm looking at it right now. And that's the most economical way to do it, because you can get, it's $7.49 for the first 3 months with the one book a month plan. So that's even better. And then it goes to $14.95, but then you can use those credits for just about anything on there. I don't think I've ever come across a book that's more than one credit, and you can really squeeze out some quality entertainment for one credit, because, for example, there are some really, really long books on there, like some Stephen King books, like The Stand. I think that's like a, 48 hour book, which I've only gotten through about half of it, but it's awesome. It's like, a lot of Stephen King books where, for the first half, it's sort of about one thing, and then you realize it's really about a totally different thing. 11/22/64 is another one, which was 11/22/63 by Stephen King, is also very cool. It involves time travel and going back to save to keep the Kennedy assassination from happening. That's an excellent book. I loved that book. And it's, again, one of those things where it turns into a completely different thing. There's tons of stuff on here. I've got Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, 1Q84, which I have yet to listen to because, I mean, and again, this is a 46-hour-long book, and it's, you know, one of those huge, thick books that it would be great if you didn't have to always sit down and read those books. So if you listen to podcasts, you're already in the zone for enjoying books this way. So if you're in the car, working out, working in the garden, you know, whatever, if you're doing something where you can't actually pay attention to something you're holding in your hands, it's perfect. They have all the Steve Jobs books. They have I Was, they have Icon, Steve Jobs. They have, of course, the biography of Steve Jobs and tons of other, what's that iPod book? I can't remember.
Oh, that's a great book.
Is that what is it?
Oh, I can't. Jeff? Why am I blanking on it? It was written by the...
Wasn't it Leander Caney who wrote that? Whatever.
You might be thinking about a different iPod book.
Possibly. I think he had some.
Yes, he did. But no, I'm thinking about the one that was written by... Crud, I have it on my shelf. I could probably look.
The Perfect Thing?
Yes, thank you.
By Stephen Levy.
Stephen Levy, yeah.
Levy, yeah. Not the
Levy, Levy, whatever.
Not the
great book.
Not the guy who did. Was it the same guy who did the Freakonomics? That's a different guy. Anyway, so the cool thing about Audible, in short, is that you get all these credits, you get all these books, and like I said, some of these I haven't even listened to yet. But the great thing is, you accumulate this library of books, and you don't have to listen to them right away. And you can even cancel your subscription, so you're not getting more credits. If you've hit like a lull in your listening, you maintain that library. It's always on audible.com, and you can always get it through your Audible app on your iOS device, or from the website and burn it to CDs, or put it in iTunes, or put it on your iPhone, or put it on your iPod, or whatever you want to do with it. It's really great. So check it out. Get a free book, audiblepodcast.com/WHC. We thank them so much for their support of We Have Communicators. And
actually,
yep.
I was just going to say, I actually think that's how I read or quote unquote listened to the Perfect Thing book, was on Audible. I think it was one of my first Audible purchases, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think that's how I enjoyed it as well, how I listened to it or read it. I like to say that I read it, because you essentially did, but you didn't. You know how it goes.
Well, it's like saying roll down the windows.
That's the awesome thing.
In your car, you hit the button and the window goes down.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. And
you're putting it in your brain, so
you read it, but you're not really reading it.
Yeah. Rolling down your windows.
All right.
So yeah, there you go. Okay. iPhone 5S rumors.
What?
What? Emails.
Yeah, some people just got it.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry.
iPhone
5S. But for the people that did get it, they're on the in crowd, and Michael, you're not.
Okay, I guess not. So iPhone 5S rumors, which I found this one pretty interesting based on, again, DigiTimes. They're saying that iPhone early 5S shipments may be constrained due to poor fingerprint sensor yields. And I thought that the whole fingerprint sensor thing just wasn't happening.
Mm-mm.
Is it happening?
I think that's a given. I think we have to give it at this point with how heavily that's been rumored.
Yeah, it seems pretty likely the fingerprint sensor thingy is happening.
Huh. Here's my new theory based on some of the new information that's been coming out this past week. So it's always been assumed that the fingerprint sensor technology would be built into the home button.
Right.
Right. But we've also heard rumors that Apple has patents, and maybe they're not even rumors, actually. I can't remember. I think they might even be actual patent awards that Apple received over the past couple weeks. There was one patent that described a fingerprint scanner that would be built into the bezel. So, and it would actually take little slices of your fingerprint. So my envisioning of this is as you sort of slide on or off the bezel, it can scan your fingerprint. And then the most recent one was this week, there was a patent application that described a fingerprint scanner that would just be built into the LCD itself.
Yeah.
And that's the one that seems most likely to be.
Right. Yeah, that seems like the best, the implementation that would be the one that would make the most sense and be the coolest and be the most unintrusive from a usage standpoint. And I think it was the unofficial Apple weblog or someplace I read where they said it also would explain why slide to unlock in iOS 7 is not region specific. Because think about it. Think if all I have to do to unlock my phone now is it has my fingerprint. So I just put my finger anywhere on the screen, and as I slide to unlock, it's going to scan my fingerprint, verify that I can unlock the device, and then I don't have to be prompted with a passcode.
That would
and
be
I can
awesome.
Put my finger anywhere on the screen.
That would be awesome.
To activate that, which would include the regions when you have a notification, right? You need to go in that area. So if the whole screen is just a giant fingerprint scanner. So then the other thing that led me to believe is all these rumors we've been hearing of Apple having issues with yield problems on LCDs. Well, if they have to integrate, we heard rumors that they were having trouble with the fingerprint scanning technology and that they were having problems with LCD yields. But, I mean, there's a million other devices that use LCDs similar to what Apple uses in the iPhone. So why would that be a problem? Well, what if there's this new layer of technology and this is a whole separate kind of special screen that Apple needs? These things start to come together and you're like, oh, okay, well, these rumors are starting to add up and make a lot of sense. So I don't know. That's my harebrained theory. I have no evidence other than all these rumors seem to add up to a plausible story.
I like it. I would totally lock my phone then.
I would continue to lock my phone, but it would be more convenient for me when I need to unlock it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's and think from an Apple perspective, how much they would want that to be the solution versus this two-touch thing where I've got to put my finger on the home button, wait, scan, now slide to unlock.
Right.
Versus just slide to unlock.
Yeah.
So I think that might be what's going on, but I think, and that may be reason why, you know, they are delaying a lot of stuff and putting it back so much back weighting what's happening with their product announcements. And it does make me even question, like, is that a reason why Retina iPad mini displays might not be? I mean, I would assume that once they have that technology integrated, it's going to be across the board on all their devices.
Right, yeah.
They might launch it on the iPhone first, though.
Seems
because it makes more sense on the iPhone than any other device. Yeah. I don't know.
Very interesting. So we saw some more photos of the alleged lower cost plastic iPhone. And Adam, for your benefit, this one has the cutouts there. So you can tell that they're not going to be, it's not going to be based on paperclip technology.
for the volume controls?
Yes. For all the controls. Yeah. So it's not going to be, you don't have to carry a paperclip around for it to work.
So that's lucky.
Which
were filed down your fingers into tiny little points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's people that would do that.
I'm sure there are. Yeah. So it's a nice yellow and it,
And by nice, you mean ew?
Yes, that's what I mean.
These are the colors
that you don't like. Yeah.
Did we talk about the fact that these are coming back?
The season colors.
The 80s neon coming back that we lived through, and apparently all you young people didn't get to suffer through, so we just, every generation, we're like, rah, you got to have this.
Yeah, we think it's super cool right now. It's cyclical. It's fun.
Someone like found their kids' neon Crayolas and like, these would be good colors.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, it looks nice.
It'll be good when you're clubbing.
It's plastic.
It'll be all glowy.
They say it's going to be what, $300 to $400 bucks? Is that what we're thinking it's going to be?
I think that's accurate.
That sounds good.
I think Apple's not going to do a low cost device. I've always bought into this concept that it's going to be more of a mid-range device, and so with subsidies you're looking at basically where they're selling the iPhone 4S right now.
Yeah,
because then they don't have to compromise on features, right? It's still going to be a featureful phone, and it's still going to be affordable for most consumers. And actually, if you look at predictions for the third quarter numbers, you know, there's a lot of people predicting that Apple actually sells a lot of the 4 and the 4S at the $199 price range. So it's a proven price point that consumers are, a certain segment of consumers go after. And
yeah. It
means less compromise for Apple in terms of margins and all those other things.
And what's also interesting is that the, it looks like the layout of the screw posts for the logic boards and whatnot, mm-hmm. they appear to be identical to the iPhone 5.
Nice.
So it would kind of seem like it would be very similar to what the iPhone 5 is right now.
Saves production costs, I bet, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And in addition to that, there are also rumors saying that the production will reportedly begin later this month, according to All Things D, which is typically a pretty good source. Now, being that it's happening later this month, what's the lead time typically on this stuff before it's actually available? Is it a couple months?
It's going to happen in July.
Production will reportedly begin later this month. Yes.
Yeah, October. I mean, that's 3 months.
Interesting. That seems so weird to me, because it just seems like, so they're going to be just stockpiling these things? Or they're just going to be hanging out in a warehouse?
Yeah, you got to ramp up. I mean, think about it.
You got to ramp up
all your, and they're talking about parts production. So you got to get all your parts lined up, and then you got to get those to assembly. Then you got to get assembly going, and you've got to start getting inventory to start shipping all over the world.
Right.
Okay. I mean, yeah, there's a huge lead time in these things. That's why, like, other rumors that are out there that, like, Apple hasn't even started production on things like, you know, I don't know, iWatches.
Right.
Anybody who thinks we're going to see an iWatch this year is crazy.
I agree. There's no iWatch this year.
Because Apple hasn't started, they would need to have started or be very close to starting production components, and we haven't seen those kinds of leaks where it's like, oh, here's iWatch pieces.
Right.
We would start to see, you know, prototype versions of that, little pieces of that, and then they'd be needing, because I think the earliest predictions for that would be by the end of this year, and that would mean they'd be needing to go into production in the fall. They need to be starting component production in the fall, and I don't see any.
And we're not seeing anything.
So it would probably be likely that we'll see a lot more of these iPhone 5S part leaks happening next month.
Well, and we've already seen a lot of them.
We have, but we haven't seen
almost enough to build an iPhone.
Well, I think those are the pre-production kind of parts and things like that. And Now they're like ready to start producing those, and that's what we're hearing now, right? It's like, okay, we're going in production on these pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we're seeing the cases for the low mid-cost iPhone, whatever you want to call it, and yeah.
Yeah,
because we're going to have both those things in the fall.
I think I think it's been said that the low-cost iPhone was first in terms of going to production. So it was a little bit ahead.
It's a little ahead of the iPhone 5S. Because I think with the iPhone 5S, they were still kind of nailing down some of the specs that they wanted to actually ship with. And by the way, I mean, the latest specs for that, this is going to be the biggest update, S update I think we've ever seen in terms of new specs, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Are we all on iPhone 5s?
I believe we are.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Except for Adam, who's on a 5S.
I wish. But I mean, literally the 5S could almost have been a 6, it feels like, by some of the specs that are rumored. And I don't know that all of them are going to be in there. Like the one that I guarantee you is not there. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, I guess, because I could be proven wrong. I do not believe there's any NFC in there.
I'm just not buying the NFC love. I don't see Apple adding NFC to the iPhone.
I see no use case for it.
Yeah, neither do I.
So, and the other one I'm a little ambivalent on is whether they'll do a 12 megapixel camera versus just an improved 8 megapixel. I kind of think they'd opt for an improved 8 megapixel, but.
Well, at some point you got to start improving the megapixels because that is what people look at, even though the camera, it is more than just megapixels.
Exactly. That's the thing. But I think Apple's consumers know that. I don't get the impression that anybody who has an iPhone is duped by the megapixel thing.
No, I think most iPhone owners really don't care about the megapixels.
They care about the picture.
Right. So I think this would be a good time to talk about the crazy carrier upgrade programs that were announced in the last week or so. That still don't really make
crazy,
a whole lot of sense
not
to me.
That good?
Nonsensical?
You're saying that we're not going to be able to upgrade? Is that what you're saying?
No, we are not going to be able to upgrade, no. Unless we want to pay like crazy amounts of money.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, upgrade to the 5S this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I get to.
Well, Yay, why do you get to? Because you have other people on your line?
Yeah, because my wife and I alternate, so I get her upgrade.
maybe I should buy my girlfriend an iPhone. And by that, I mean...
But make sure you buy
Honey,
her,
I bought yeah. you my iPhone.
Exactly. That's what I do. So she'll get my 5.
Oh,
I get
yeah.
the 5S.
Hey, that could work.
It works out really well. I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
For you nerds out there. I mean, frankly, my wife is very happy about that too because she's not a tech person. She could honestly care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, what she knows is that every year she gets a new iPhone.
Yeah.
Yep. So the deals with AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile... you guys may need to help me out with this, but they're associated strange pricing all across the board with this stuff. So because T-Mobile is...
Do we even want to talk about this? I guess people care about this, right?
I think people care about it and ultimately will say that they don't want to do it. So T-Mobile, essentially the way this works...
T-Mobile's the best, though, right? They're not doing a weird thing, are they?
Well, it's all weird in terms of price or how you pay it or when you pay it and all that stuff. But essentially, you pay a monthly fee, a program fee, except... Or do you pay a monthly fee with AT&T and Verizon? I thought you did.
No, not with... AT&T and Verizon are still doing the standard subsidy thing, right?
Yeah, but I think they're also making you pay the... a financed rate for the phone on top of that. So it's like you're double paying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is interesting. So T-Mobile, the way it works is you pay $10 a month if you want the upgrade thing, the upgrade program. And so it's ultimately $120 a month.
This is on top of the $20 a month or whatever you would say.
This is on top of your $21 a month payment.
Okay.
Which, I mean, ultimately you only pay $146 up front for the handset and the mobile device payments. So the way it works, it
lasts for like 24 months or something like that, right?
Yeah, and that's why you're paying the extra. That's why you're paying the upgrade program fee, the $10 a month extra, so that they
The good thing about the T-Mobile one is once you've paid off your subsidy, you're done.
Right.
They take that fee, those fees away and those charges away, and you just pay your standard cell phone bill.
Right, yeah. So then you don't have to worry about it.
Unlike AT&T.
So you're saying they refund you the $10 a month?
No, they don't refund you, but they stop making you pay. See, the problem with like you and I and those of us on AT&T or Verizon, they build in the subsidy to the initial rate. But you pay off pay off their subsidy before your 2 year contract is out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you continue to pay.
Well, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? That would make no sense.
So that's all.
And even
pure
if you don't
profit.
Upgrade your phone,
right?
But, you continue starting a contract. You still pay.
Yes. Okay. So
that
the monthly device payment
is where T-Mobile is different.
Yeah, it's $32.50. Per month for AT&T and $27.08 per month for Verizon. Device portion of monthly service fees. So I guess you pay another $20 per on AT&T and Verizon. There's nothing on T-Mobile. Ultimately, what that means is total payments.
You're screwed.
The T-Mobile is the cheapest. It's $518 total to purchase an iPhone and then upgrade to the next iPhone within 12 months, right? Is that what we're talking about? Purchasing an iPhone?
Yes.
And then
at this point, why wouldn't you just buy the unsubsidized thing and go on with your life?
Yeah, because Verizon it's $565 and then AT&T it's $630, and this we're talking about baseline 16 gigabyte, I assume.
Yeah.
Yes.
So buy unsubsidized, because ultimately you're paying for the subsidy.
Just go into your Apple store, pay $800 for your phone.
No, it's not $800. Is it really $800?
Yeah, if you go in for the 32 gig model.
Holy cow.
Or 64 gig model.
Yeah, but you have to realize when you go and then pay that subsidy, you're going to be paying like $1,500 after 2 years.
Right, because you're still, unless you bought it to use on T-Mobile, you're still paying the subsidy.
Right.
Right.
So you double pay for your phone.
So this is a big trick to get more money.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Or you could just pay off your plan. It might be even cheaper to get out of
I would pay out. I would do. This is what I would do. If I was on AT&T or Verizon, I would buy out and you want to upgrade, I would buy out your plan and then buy an unsubsidized phone and just pay your contract and move on with your life.
You wouldn't really have to buy out your plan. You could still continue on. You just buy an unsubsidized device, right?
If you get I guess you could, and then you'd still have to pay out.
Yeah, because it's six. Okay, check this out. So you're spending
right. that even better. I mean, that's even better. You're gonna save money to a certain degree.
Yeah, on AT&T, you're spending $20 less ultimately to do this fancy upgrade thing. And then on Verizon, you're spending another $25 less.
Yeah. The bummer is it's going to cost you $800 to $1,000 to get an iPhone 5S up
front. So if you want to, so yeah, it's 16 gig is $650, then $750, then $850.
Yeah, plus your buyout.
Well, you don't have to do the buyout.
Oh, you're right. That's right.
So you just have another phone. You swap the chip. Doesn't matter.
But you're going to be still paying for that on the back end. So you still people need to do the math. It's amazing when you actually sit down and do the math. You're probably still better off buying out your contract, buying the phone. So you spend $1,000 up front, but 2 years from now, you'll be ahead like $200, $300 probably.
Ultimately, what this means to me, and it this has actually very little weight in my decision to do this, but when I get my next iPhone, which is probably going to be the 6, I'm very likely going to be switching to T-Mobile.
Yeah. For the contract rates, right?
For the contract rates, precisely. And the fact that I'm not tied in necessarily in the way that I am with AT&T and Verizon.
You know the solution to this, right?
No phone?
No, Apple needs to become a carrier.
Oh, okay.
It's the solution we talked about 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. It is the solution to this. And
it'll
it's
never
the solution
happen.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, because the only carrier they could actually conceivably take over is Sprint, and they suck.
It's not even that. I don't know. I keep hoping technology will solve this problem, but I don't even have hope for that.
Yeah,
are we supposed to have Wi-Fi everywhere and we'd just be all using Skype?
Well, there are those Google balloons. You know about those
Google
balloons?
Where's that world? Where's my flying car, damn it?
Yeah, we don't have flying cars.
Well, we're
going to
have
ubiquitous Wi-Fi.
We're going to get a Hyperloop.
We don't have
later.
Transporters.
Hyperloops. We have those little
Hyperloops. Yeah,
tricorder.
Aliens going to save us all.
We're going to get a tricorder that you showed us.
For Elon? I called him Alien.
Elon. Elon Musk. Yeah, let's get the... And then we're going to go to Mars, and we're going to use our Google balloons to get on Wi-Fi.
Nice.
That's going to be a bright future.
And we're going to have a busy week.
Okay.
What else you got, Michael?
Let's see. I already talked about the photos. We got Google Maps for the iPad.
Woo!
Which I opened and said meh and closed.
The fact that it has the bicycle directions, and there's a lot of navigation stuff that's cool in there.
It has been updated
street
overall
view.
For the it does have street view, of course, but it's been updated overall on all iOS devices, so you
it
also get
nice.
The you get the bicycling directions, as Jeff said. You also get Explore, right? So you can find something cool around your area.
You know, it's got a really, really clean UI.
It
really maximizes the display and
it
stuff.
It feels like an iOS 7 interface.
They do really good job, a really good job with almost all the apps that they have on iOS. It does seem very unique to iOS what they're doing with it too, which is really cool.
It's super. It's really minimalistic, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever use Find My Friends? By the way. I don't know if you noticed my ridiculous request to find you on Find My Friends today.
You know, I have tried to use Find My Friends in the past, but for me to be able to use it, at least the last time I tried, the only way is for me to create a third iCloud account.
Why is that?
Well, my original account, which started as iTools, that's always been too old to use with Find My Friends. And so when we did the transition from iTools into .Mac, I had to make a new account. So I've been running two accounts.
I think it's merged. I don't think it's different.
It doesn't matter. Both those accounts that I have are too old to use with Find My Friends.
I had it. No, okay. I think you're confused about what you're doing there. Because,
no, I'm definitely not.
Well, let me tell you what my situation is. I had a .Mac account, and when MobileMe came out, I also had a MobileMe account. So I had both at Mac and at Me. And then when iCloud came out, I also now have an iCloud account. But it's all the same thing. It's whatever the most recent thing is, but you also maintain those old addresses, those old aliases. So there are certain things that don't work. So initially when it was like iTools and .Mac, you could just sign in using your name without using the @.
Right.
And now if I do want to sign in, you have to use @, but I can even use @Mac or @me.com, and it doesn't matter when I'm signing into these iCloud services, and it looks
right.
like the same thing.
Right. Now for services that are compatible, it doesn't matter if I'm using my .Mac, my .me, or my iCloud address, it all just works and it sees it all as the same thing. The problem that I'm having, and I wouldn't have realized this was the problem until I spent a long time talking with Apple, and then they finally then they finally said, "Wait, when did these accounts get created?" And I told them, like, "Oh, yeah, you're going to have to make a new account. Those accounts are too old. They're actually not compatible with."
That's interesting.
And I'm like, "Well, you keep giving me the new addresses, so shouldn't that just work?" And they're like, "Yeah, wouldn't that be great?"
That's weird.
So I don't use Find My Friends.
That's weird. Yeah, I noticed you weren't on there.
I use it, but I just. Is it a problem if I leave the hide me feature on all the time?
Yeah, then it doesn't work. So thank you for letting
me know. It sounds like that's exactly the way you should use it. Well done, Adam.
I will hide you from my, or hide myself from you then, because I guess it's only fair, right? If I don't know where you are, you shouldn't know where I am. But here's a tip. I'm usually at home.
Exactly.
And we'll be right over.
Yeah, we're all usually at home on our computers or at a bar.
On our computers.
On our computers.
Ladies.
Yes. So, where were we? Google Maps. Oh, here's an interesting story and a very obvious one. So, according to Flurry Analytics, they're saying that consumers are less willing to pay for content as free apps surge. So in 2013, 90% of apps sold are free. 6% of them are 99 cents and less and less and
you
less
guys
going
suck.
Up the scale. I agree.
I'm just going to throw that out there right now. All of you who are doing that.
All of me. Please. Me too. I kind of
pay for apps.
I agree. Pay for apps. And I was, of course, having the same conversation that we always have on the show with someone over the weekend, and they were probably upset that I knew so much about it and had so much to say about it. But the whole idea of wishing that Apple had done more to address the issue with trial software and paid upgrades in the App Store and iOS 7. Now,
well, and Apple's the worst offender.
Yeah, they are
at this point.
Because does Google provide trials now in the Play Store?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just saying Apple's the worst offender when it comes to app pricing. And setting the bar.
Oh, that's
yeah.
True,
Apple
yes.
drove the market to the bottom.
Yeah, and they're taking it further. I mean, one of the latest rumors is that with the launch of iOS 7, all the iWork apps are going to be free.
Yep.
Which sucks.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I appreciate not having to pay for something.
Yeah.
That has value. I want to pay for stuff that has value because. Well, it has value. And if you're not paying, then you're devaluing everything else that has value on the App Store.
Well, and the bigger problem that I have is it forces developers to find another way so you have two choices as a developer when this pricing model happens, right? You either find another way or you stop developing. Well, most developers I know love what they do, which is why they're awesome, which is why they make awesome apps, and so they're going to want to continue to do that. So they have to find a new model. And again, I'm willing to accept that I'm just old and dumb, and all of you can be screaming that at your iPad or your iPhone right now, or your iPod if that's what you're listening on. But paying for my apps. I don't like getting nickeled and dimed. I don't like the in-app purchase model. I don't like being advertised to. I don't like all of those things, and maybe that's just I'm old. And I'm used to paying for software and getting the value out of it. And this is the new world order, and it's the way it's going to be, and I need to accept it. But I don't have to like it, right?
No,
I don't have
to
like it.
You don't have to like it. But
okay. I don't like it.
Here's the deal. I don't like it either. And my feeling is if we're not paying for the quality apps that we use, then developers are not going to make money or have incentive to create more apps for us. That's a problem. The nickel and diming really annoys me. Although I'm totally okay with you selling me or giving me an app that is functional enough so that it does what it's advertised to do. And then if there are extra features, like icing on the cake, then I'm okay paying for those. Because yeah, you've already given me an app that does everything that it's supposed to do. And now you're saying, hey, and here's some other stuff, if you want, that you can add in and make it even cooler.
In this new paradigm, the perfect model that I think has emerged, and I know not every app can provide this, but there are a lot of apps that can. I really like the model where, like you're saying, it's free and there's a certain amount of functionality and the app is still useful at that level. I even don't even mind that, here's additional content and features that you can activate with in-app purchase. But I really, really like it when they're like, and so you can buy a la carte, but if you just want the whole app, here's what we would have sold it for, $10, and it unlocks everything, or $20 or $30. I don't even care what the price is, but I like the option that just says, we'll give you everything all in one bundle package for X. And that's the option I always opt for, because I would have just preferred probably to pay $10 up front and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
That's pretty much how Paper by 53 worked for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I could buy the individual tools, but it didn't matter. I looked at it and was like, no, I'm paying the package price to get everything.
Yeah, well, I want all the functionality. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple camera apps that I've bought that have done that, and I really appreciate it. You know, some people, maybe they only want three filters. I want the full app. If it's awesome and it works, give me everything. And give me an option to buy that. But I don't like, each one is 99 cents, and then 2 months later, oh, here's three more because we need more money. And, that I understand. That, again, I fault Apple for that part of the model, right? Because there's no upgrade pricing. So how else are you going to get upgrade pricing? Well, you got to put out new packs or feature upgrades that you charge for. That's the new model for doing app upgrades, I guess.
Yeah, that's the workaround for app upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Or the alternative, which is awful for the developers, which is I have to put out the same app version 2, but as a new app. And that's just way too confusing for consumers.
Yeah. So. And it's a pain in the ass for developers.
It is, yeah. I don't know. Why are we still talking about this like 5 years later?
How broken Apple fixed this?
Because nobody from Apple listens to this podcast. Apparently. Or nobody with any Apple listens any to sort
developers
or yeah, that's
true. The market.
I don't understand it. It's very strange. I was sure it would happen.
I'm willing to accept part of it is we're old school, and there's a whole group of new people who are like, this is fine by me. I love this. I get all my stuff for free. I don't mind.
Yeah, but can developers actually make a living this way? That is the most important
still
thing.
Is that's the big question. But
nothing
again,
else matters.
The answer for a lot of developers is
I think there's a whole bunch of new developers that are going, well, yeah, I'll figure it out. And you old guys who can't adapt, well, you're dinosaurs.
If they can figure it out, that's another.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah. If they can figure it out, then it doesn't matter. But if, and it doesn't seem like they can.
Well, there's a lot of developers that seem to have figured it out. I mean,
well, I think that it's a volume thing, and I think that's bad.
Yeah, for many developers, it's a volume thing.
Successful developers, volume works for them.
Yes, and then you have other successful developers like Omni Group, where they're paying what I think are totally reasonable prices for their apps, although most people balk and say, I wouldn't pay $30 or whatever.
Yeah.
They are the
beacon
gold standard
hope.
Example that I would hope most developers would strive for, but I have no illusions that any are. I think they're an outlier, and they've survived on guys like us who
understand.
Appreciate that. But
yeah,
I don't know what they're going to do when we go away.
Yeah. See, part of the problem we have is that developers, instead of pricing their product based on its value, are pricing their products based on, well, everyone else is selling their thing
market
for
pressure.
$1.99.
Yeah, it's all market pressure.
And so then they have to hope that they will sell enough of their product that they actually make what they should have made had they charged what they should have charged.
Yeah. The other really successful model that's working for a lot of developers is what I call the, you know, pump and dump. You just keep creating app after app after app. You know, you sell a bunch and then just...
And then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's... But then you're abandoning...
as many apps as fast as you can.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at my some of my favorite apps and... Like Tweetbot's $3. It's not a great example, but iTeleport, for example, that's $25. I love it. I use it every day, and I've used it for years.
And you're getting $25 worth of value.
I am so getting $25 worth of value from that.
You know, Panic is another good example of a company I think who's pricing their apps pretty much where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did we pay for?
Status board.
I think
status
it was 10 board. Bucks.
It was like 10 bucks, right?
Yeah. And I think that's that's normally what Prompt is selling for and a couple of the other ones.
Oh, yeah. I have Prompt and I love that. Paid whatever, $10 or something like that for it. So, yeah. A lot of my favorite ones are pretty expensive.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I paid Robin.
even saying pretty expensive is a symptom of the problem in some cases.
Sure, yeah, pretty expensive used to be $50 or $100.
Yeah. Now it's 10.
Well, $10 not that expensive. It depends on the caliber of the app.
You paid $10 for an app, they would be like, "What the?"
Yeah, Mr. Moneybags.
It doesn't matter if it made them breakfast and gave them lap dances, they still wouldn't pay $10.
Yeah.
Games are the one exception in some cases. In some cases.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to something more interesting. I'm avoiding the pun even though I wanted to. because somebody died. That's the only reason I'm avoiding the pun. But so there was a woman in China who was using her iPhone 5 while it was plugged in. And I guess it was an iPhone 4 now that we were learning, either a 4 or a 4S for whatever.
Yeah, it seems there's all kinds of things we're learning about that now.
Yeah. Well, initially, yeah. Had she like just gotten out of the shower? I heard that somewhere.
That was one... rumor, yeah.
Okay. So discounting that fact, I think that it's more important to talk about probably the most interesting aspect of this is that it seems as though she was indeed using a knockoff charger.
Right.
A non-Apple charger. And while I've been aware of this being an issue... of using low quality chargers, I do have a few of them. I would say most of them are from third party accessories that I've been given over the years, and a lot of them were kind of junky accessories. And I think that I even have one USB charger that it just doesn't even work. So I should probably make sure I throw that out. But these cheap adapters can be potentially deadly, as are many things that plug into 120 volt or what is it in China? I guess it's 220 volt,
like 738 volt. I don't know.
Other places, it's higher and lower, but they're transforming the power using circuitry and whatnot. You can tell I know a lot about electricity, electronics, but you're dealing with a lot of power. And if it's not properly insulated and the parts aren't of high quality, you can have some serious problems.
As this one woman learned.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so many of these stories, you have to wonder. I mean, we've had these over the years. I was actually interviewed by the local news place one time because there was a whole rash incident of, you know, like iPods that were catching fire.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
Right. But you have to wonder about a lot of times you don't know how this stuff has been treated. Things like, are they using third party, third-party non-approved accessories. I even think of stuff, I've known situations where somebody's like, oh yeah, my iPod totally went through the wash and it's working great. Well, okay, yeah, maybe on the outside it is, but you don't know what's going on, you know, with the battery and stuff like that. Did it catch fire because it went through the wash? Maybe. Did it catch fire because you took it to some place and had a battery swapped out and they used some cheap component?
Yeah, that's actually, I would say that's more likely than a situation where you're, where maybe, let's say you had your iPod go through the wash and you're using it and it seems to work. Now, I think that is pretty low risk, although you may have an issue with the actual battery pack itself. I would say
exactly
less,
that's what I mean. It's just
less to do with the electronics, because the adapters themselves, if you have a high quality one, I mean, you can put the Lightning adapter in your mouth and it won't shock you. You might get a little bit of something because it's trying to figure out, are you an iPod?
Don't put that in your mouth.
I'm going to put it in my mouth right now. No, I'm not.
Do not eat iPod.
Do not eat iPod. I had a friend who ate one of my flash drives.
What is wrong with your friends?
He was protecting the data.
He was just pissing me off.
But I'm fairly certain if you opened up your iPod and looked at the battery somewhere on the battery pack, it probably says don't get wet.
Do not submerge. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
don't get wet. Don't eat.
And there's a reason for that. I mean,
would say don't eat. Yeah.
So that's just the thing. Is it's easy to, when these stories come out, and it immediately came out, and then a bunch of the reports were like, well, the family says it was all official Apple stuff. And you also have to wonder, in China, there's a lot of gray market. There's a lot of weird, stores. Yeah. Like, was the iPhone, the original report, I think, came out and said it was an iPhone 5. Turned out it was an iPhone 4. So there's a lot of misinformation that happens.
And was it an iPhone straight from Apple? Did it come through the gray market? And if so, did it have original components?
But here's the worst part about it, though, is at the end of the day, none of this stuff matters, because what matters is this woman died, right? I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Because of an iPhone and a crappy charger.
Maybe.
Well, not so much
more
the
likely
iPhone, probably,
from a third-party charger. Yeah. So be careful what you're buying, people. And, Michael, don't stick the cords in your mouth.
Okay. I won't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, have you guys checked out the Tile thing, the little Bluetooth accessory?
I don't have one or anything. I know what you're talking about.
Is that for, like, if you lose your keys, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like an interesting idea. I thought about it today because they're, for the next 3 days, it's all this week through the weekend, I would guess. You can pre-order one for $20 each. They'll eventually go up to $25. And I was considering buying one, but then I thought, $18.95, even better. I can't think of anything that I lose other than my sunglasses from time to time, but this wouldn't work well on my sunglasses. And
do you need your iPhone to find it? Because the irony and all that is, I bet you most people lose their iPhones more often than anything else.
Well, the thing about that is, there's already found my iPhone in there, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
And if you knew where your iPhone was, then you could find it.
Yeah. Or a computer.
But is that how, I can't remember how it works. It's like a little, it's for like finding stuff in a small location, right? You attach this little flat, it's maybe an inch square, inch and a half square, little tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
To your key ring, to whatever you want to find. You throw it in your backpack or your inside your wallet.
So you sort of have to walk around your house or whatever, waiting for the little bars to go up and it starts beeping. It's like a...
But you use like an iPhone app, right? You use your smartphone to find it. So
these things are disposable.
The irony is, most people probably can't find their phone. So then you can't find your keys because you need your phone to find your keys.
Well, one step at a time.
Yeah, and these are disposable because the battery dies
after a year.
You throw them away and get a new one, right?
Yep.
All right. So
it's cool. I mean, it's a cool concept. We've seen a couple of these different kinds of products come out, and it definitely looks like a really neat one. But I'm with you, Michael. It's sort of like, would I really use it? There are certainly people out there, right?
Yeah, and then I think there are certainly people out there. I know some people who have issues finding their keys all the time, and I don't because I put them in the same spot all the time. So, in all honesty, seriously, the only thing I ever lose track of is my sunglasses on occasion, usually when I'm in a department store and I've been there too long, and then I freak out and I find them again. Actually, I left them in the Apple store the other day, but this thing would be too big for it. So for me, it's not something that I even want to spend $20 on, even though it seems cool. But there is one neat aspect that I learned about it is if you lose something, they said the example they gave was their bike. If you lose your bike, and of course, it doesn't have GPS and it doesn't have Wi-Fi or data. It just has the Bluetooth. So it's pretty far out of your sphere of influence. Or being able to detect it. And so, but the way that it works is you can still find that thing using other people who also do this.
Who have the app. Yeah, if someone else has the app and they detect it, it will show up on their device and it can...
It doesn't show up on their device. It just... it lets you know. It uses their cloud network, so it's sort of
Mesh it would show up on their device, but I mean, through their device, it will sense it, and you. I'm assuming you would go on to the service where you've kind of registered stuff, like find my iPhone, and say, okay, it's lost. Ping me when it shows up somewhere.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's actually cool.
Yes. So good times. Last thing I want to mention is eBay has this new app that I have not looked at yet called eBay Exact, where you can order, 3D printed stuff like iPhone cases and whatnot, custom made. So if you...
I'm seriously just considering getting a 3D printer at this point.
I want something that's big enough that could like print a Daft Punk helmet for me.
The latest MakerBot could, and probably in parts.
Because it needs to be like a bike helmet sort of thing.
Yeah, I think you'd have to build it in parts.
Head sized. So you're thinking I'd have to like glue it together or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you might be able to do it two halves. I mean, it's got a pretty big...
Yeah, how much is that MakerBot? You going to buy me a MakerBot too?
I think it's like $3,000.
Yeah, buy me one of those.
No, it's not even. It's $2,200.
Yeah, so nothing. Chump change. Go for it. Buy me one. And some of the...
Less than a Mac Pro.
Filaments.
That's true. Less than a Mac Pro.
Actually, less than a MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm. The MakerBot Replicator. Now, that's a good name.
410 cubic inch build volume. I don't know how big that is.
I want one so bad. Those things would be cool to have. I don't understand those people who make guns with them, though. Not the fact that it's, you know, hey, I can make a gun with it. That's fine. I don't care. You can make whatever you want with it. But the people who have, like, the balls to actually shoot a plastic gun that they just made and think that it's not going to explode and kill them. That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, they go out there wearing goggles and ear protectors, maybe, and that's it.
And they're holding the gun in their hand instead of like, mounting it in something and firing.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
I will tell you, Michael, if you want to do it cheaper, I had a listener email me, and I guess there's a thing called RepRap, which is an open source 3D printing thing. Hmm. And there's like meetup groups and stuff like that that'll help you sort of build your own 3D printer, and the parts end up costing you around $400.
Ooh, I like DIY 3D printer.
That would be kind of cool.
So do you use like a Arduino?
I have no
something?
Idea. He just invited me to, you know, he's local, so I might meet up with him at one point to get a little more details about how it works. But apparently, you know, you get the instructions, and I think there's a whole thing where, you know, someone builds one and then they help use their stuff to help you build the parts to build yours, kind of thing.
It's a 3D printer that prints itself.
Yep.
Very cool.
That's really cool.
Except for the electronics part. You have to get that somewhere else.
Right, you're right. You got to source parts and stuff like that. But
still, that's really cool.
I like it.
It's called reprap.org, reprap.org.
It's called Skynet Uprising.
That's reprap is about making self-replicating machines.
Yeah, that seems totally safe.
Self-replicating
machines. No, nothing. There's never been any sort of literature or movies or anything that has cautioned against that sort of thing.
Right. So, we'll be I for one welcome our new self-replicating 3D printer overlords.
And then you can go on Thingiverse and get all your models that you want to print out.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So with that, unless you guys have anything else to talk about.
Ooh, penny trebuchets.
What's that? Oh, so it slings your pennies?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other iPhone stuff to talk about? No. Okay, let's do our iDevice picks. Adam, you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
I am going to pick an awesome game that was over way too quickly for me, but because I finished it in like a day. Tiny Thief by Rovio Stars. And it's sort of like a puzzle kind of platformer game. The graphics are awesome. It's got this great cartoon kind of look to it. And you are this little thief in medieval times. And basically, you go through the levels and you have to solve little puzzles. You sneak around, try and not get caught by the guards, and solve different little puzzles on the different levels. I don't know if there's much more to explain for it than that. But
it's
extremely
addictive.
It's a
fun cartoony look.
Yeah, $3. Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. And I hope they add more levels.
You seem to be the only person who has it, too. On Apple, at least.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. And actually, it prompted me to buy their other one. So I think Rovio Stars is like Rovio's now doing distribution for other apps. I think that's what's happening here. And this one, I think, is their second title. The first one was... the Viking ice one. What's it called? You basically break ice blocks. So I went back and I bought that one now too. And I'm playing that, but Tiny Thief was, I saw the trailers for it. I was waiting for it to come out and it came out and it was totally awesome, but just not long enough. It might not be, I mean, if you're a really hardcore gamer, it might not be challenging enough. The puzzles were, but I definitely got my $2 out of it or whatever it cost, $3. Fun. Tiny Thief.
Cool.
It's got good little humor built into it. And
is it one of those you just type to move them around? I like those old typing games.
No, you tap to go where you want to go.
Okay. You don't have any of the...
You have to time when you're doing stuff, and you know, you got to figure out, there'll be little patterns when the guys turn around, so you got to make sure you avoid... people seeing you. You're a thief after all, right?
Ah, okay. I see what you're talking about. Cool. Yep. All right.
Oh, and you have a little ferret that runs around with you too. He's fun.
Fair enough. All right, Jeff, what's your pick
this
week?
I have another stylus for my pick.
Ah.
And this is from a company called iFaraday. So it's
interesting.
Faraday, common spelling with a letter I in front of it. And they make some really nice styluses. This one, though, it's called SALT, which is a weird name, but it's an acronym for shallow light something. Shallow angle light touch. There we go. And so it has kind of a microfiber ball-shaped tip on the end. And so you can use this stylus in a lot of different angles. And apparently it was originally designed for with people that have like arthritis and other issues where they wouldn't be able to easily hold a stylus or a pen or whatever. And because of the shape of that tip, it's kind of a ball-shaped tip. you can hold the stylus at a really shallow angle, which I think makes it really good for artists, because sometimes when you're painting or drawing or whatever, you're not going to hold the pen or pencil or paintbrush in a traditional position. You're going to hold it near the far end, away from the tip, and kind of run it sideways across whatever it is that you're doing. And you can do that with this stylus. And so I found using it as an artistic tool like that, it balances really well, and it's very responsive, and it's just a very clever stylus. And they're like, I think I want to say $20.
Yeah, I can't get their website up, so I'm not sure.
iFaraday.com.
It's down, at least according to Dynamic DNS or Open DNS.
Well, hopefully by the time people hear the show, it'll be operating again.
Something like $20.
Yeah, it's a $20 stylus.
All right, cool. Okay, so my pick this week is one that might have been already picked, but I just got it and I love it now. It's Tiny Wings.
Oh
yeah, that's a fun game.
I love it. It's awesome.
We not picked that?
I think you probably picked it at some point, maybe a year or two ago, but I never looked at it because it sounded like Angry Birds to me. It is
so not.
It is not Angry Birds.
Not at all.
At all. So the only input you do is just touching the screen, and touching the screen makes him gain this little bird that has tiny wings. He wants to fly, and the way he does that with his tiny wings is he does like a little, like a penguin belly roll or a belly slide sort of thing across these hills. So what you do is when you're at the top of a hill beginning to go down, you fold your wings close to you so you're not gaining any lift, and you fall down to gain speed. And when you're on the upswing of the hill, you start flapping, and since you have all this speed, then you go up really high and you kind of float for a couple seconds, and you come back down, and you can control when you come back down by tapping on the screen, and it then has you fall down pretty quickly, and then you can gain more momentum, and if you hit the hills just right, then you get more speed and get higher up into the air. And the idea is you want to keep going as fast as you can. You want to outrun the sun, or outrun the sun going away, going down, because you sleep during the night. So you can only go so far in a day. And the day, it happens within, I don't know, a couple minutes. So, but the faster you go, the more time you can play it. And it's a lot of fun. It's 99 cents on the iPhone, and let me see here, it was maybe a couple bucks on the iPad, and it's totally worth it. If you haven't gotten it already, it was part of the promotion recently in the App Store, and I'm glad that I got a chance to play it. It's $3 on the iPad, and the cool thing about the iPad, I'm not sure if you can do this on the iPhone. Is there multiplayer on the iPhone?
Oh, I don't know.
Because there's multiplayer on the iPad.
Ooh. I have not tried that.
It looks like... Hang on. It's Flight School, gift the app. Yep, there's multiplayer just on the iPad. So you can... with one person on one side of the screen, with two people on each side, I should say, you can compete. So you can have two different little birds going at the same time and see who goes farther with it.
Nice.
It's very cool. So check it out, Tiny Wings. It's $1 on the iPhone and $3 on the iPad. Totally worth it.
Well, Jeff, you're odd man out.
Why is that?
Because I picked Tiny Thief, you picked Tiny Wings. And
you should have picked something tiny, I guess.
I should have picked something tiny, and instead I picked a stylus that's like 8 inches long.
That's a big
stylus. But you can hold it with your tiny hands.
By the way, Google Cache shows that the guy is just simply overwhelmed with orders.
Oh.
And it shut down the site because they can't keep up.
for the iFaraday.
Yeah, okay. It says, thank you for the support and feedback. Your support and kind words have been overwhelming, literally. I've had to shut down the site several times to catch up on orders. I only regret I haven't had the time to communicate with every one of you.
That is so funny.
We've hired several employees, but we are still swamped.
The styluses they make really are high quality. I've played with some of the others they have as well. But this one kind of stood out because I thought it was really great for artists.
So which one are you recommending?
For artists, the Salt.
The Salt, okay.
Yes.
Okay. We'll throw a link in there that Google says.
That hopefully will work.
Eventually, yes. Well,
hopefully his site will be back up. I can't even get images of it. I was hoping to maybe see one of them, but...
Well, Google image search.
Yeah.
Yeah, his site was up earlier today. So...
But I think that's that's validation of your pick, though, Jeff, because...
Yeah, I want one now.
Obviously, if they're overwhelmed with orders to the point where they have to shut the site down.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, you can find all of our picks and the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Review us in iTunes. Tell your friends. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address where you can let us know how we're doing, give us some tips, tell us about something that you like, or complain about things that we say or the ways in which we say them on the podcast, which is fun. We got a fun.
No one ever does that.
No one ever does that.
No, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, nobody would do that. 202-642-6667 is the phone number. And advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Check out audiblepodcast.com/WHC for your free audiobook this month. Jeff Gamet's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and zazzle.com/Jay Gamet. You still doing that Zazzle site?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I have ideas for some new stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I'll let you know when I have that up.
Sounds good. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the show.
Yep, I have my lips on your head right now.
Did it just get hot in here?
Meaning that I have my We Have Communicators mug right here with Michael's face on it.
Okay. Not sure
where,
if it's
where did you guys go?
Any less weird, but okay.
That's what I was thinking. Get one. That's what I was thinking, because anyone that's drinking from a We Have Communicators mug is simply sexy.
Although I should probably be drinking from my side of the mug, except I'm not left-handed. That's the problem. I always drink from the Michael side.
Yeah, I drink from the Adam side. And sweet. For the people that are rebels and they just grab the mug like it's a cup,
you can
then they get
the
to
Jeff
drink
side.
From the Jeff side.
Yeah. Cool. Jeff side
so,
is the
so now we need
side.
To know, are people Michael drinkers, Adam drinkers, or Jeff drinkers?
We need there needs to be a poll, Michael.
That was your idea. Why do I have
website
to make the poll?
Because you run the website.
Yeah, because you run the website. Oh, get off your ass and make a poll, Michael.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
He's too busy. Way too busy.
Yeah, I'm too busy with the things that I do.
Email your choice, too.
That works. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at GetAppler on Twitter, and of course, check us all three of us out on Appler. Jeff is Jeff/Jeff. Adam mm-hmm. is /MattCast, and I am /Michael. Easy enough. Check it out. We're also some of the featured people on there, so it's pretty easy to find us too. So with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No.
to get them.